مساء السعادة لكم مستمعي تمازج في السودان وجنوب السودان وعبر الشريط الحدودي. أهلا ومرحبا بكم مستمعينا وأنتم تتابعون بث فقرات برامجنا لأمسية يوم الثلاثاء. وفي البرمجة مستمعينا تتابعون جديد الراهن السياسي تتابعونه عبر نشرة الأخبار العربية، بينما مستمعينا من ضمن الفقرة أيضا تستمعون لقضية اليوم. نشرة أخبار عربي جوبا يأتيكم مستمعينا ضمن فقرات البرمجة، لنختتم الجولة مستمعينا بنشرتنا الإخبارية بالإنجليزية. كل هذا مستمعينا تتابعونه بعد الفاصل، فكونوا معنا.
راديو تمازج على امتداد المناطق الحدودية.
أولى فقرات البرمجة مستمعين تستمعون لنشرة الأخبار العربية، وفيه مستمعين تتعرفون على جديد الراهن السياسي من السودان وجنوب السودان. أحلى الأوقات أتمناها لكم.
أهلا ومرحبا بكم مستمعينا في نشرتنا الإخبارية من راديو تمازج ليوم الثلاثاء الموافق 12 من يوليو لعام 2022. وفي مقدمة النشرة، كير يعلق مشروع نظافة نهر النيل وروافده، ذبح شخصين واختطاف آخر ونهب 150 رأس من الماعز في مقاطعة ماغوي. مقتل نقيب شرطة وإصابة آخر في ولاية الوحدة. وأطلق سراح 3 سلاطين تم اعتقالهم بتهمة التحريض في مقاطعة تونج الشمالية. مستمعينا إلى تفاصيل النشرة. أصدر رئيس جنوب السودان سلفا كير مايارديت قرار بتعليق مشروع نظافة نهر النيل وروافده في البلاد. يأتي التعليق بعد يوم واحد فقط من استشارة عامة أجراها خبراء وأكاديميون في جامعات جوبا، دعت الحكومة إلى إجراء دراسة جدوى أولا قبل الجرف. خلال خطابه إلى الأمة في الذكرى 11 للاستقلال، وجه الرئيس كير بإجراء تقييم موثوق ومستقل للأثر البيئي والاجتماعي للمشروع. وأشار كير إلى أنه في الأسابيع القليلة الماضية انخرطت البلاد في نقاش إعلامي حول قضايا تجريف حوض بحر القذالة على وجه التحديد نهر نام، مبينا أن الحجج التي طرحت من قبل المعارضين والموافقين للمشروع حقيقية. وقال كير: يرى أولئك الذين يدعمون التجريف أنه حل دائم للفيضانات المستمرة في المناطق المنخفضة، ويرى آخرون في نفس المجموعة أنه وسيلة لفتح ممراتنا المائية للنقل النهري الذي من شأنه أن يخفف من مشكلة النقل في البلاد، وعلى الجانب الآخر ينظر إلى التجريف دون إجراء دراسات مناسبة على أنه طريق إلى الكارثة البيئية التي ستغير التنوع البيولوجي في جنوب السودان إلى الأبد. وقال أن المجموعة المعارضة تخشى ضياع المستنقعات التي تعتبر شريان الحياة لمختلف أنواع الحيوانات ووسيلة لكسب الرزق للصيادين. وأضاف كير باختصار: تعارض هذه المجموعة التجريف على أساس المخاوف البيئية السلبية والخسائر المتوقعة لمعيشتهم الاقتصادية. وصرح كير أنه علق المشروع للسماح بإجراء دراسة شاملة لمعرفة آثارها على البيئة على المدى الطويل، وأضاف: بعد أن تابعت هذا النقاش باهتمام أدركت أن هذا القضب لأننا لم نجري مشاورات عامة. وأعلن الرئيس كير: أقوم اليوم بتجميد أي أنشطة للتجريف حتى يتم إجراء دراسات موثوقة ومهنية ومستندة إلى الأدلة حول تأثيرات التجريف على المجتمعات المحيطة والنظام البيئي. كما وجه كير وزارة البيئة والقابات للشروع في عملية تحديد الخبراء الموثوق بهم وتوظيفهم للقيام بتلك الدراسات. كشفت السلطات في مقاطعة ماغو في ولاية شرق الاستوائية بجنوب السودان عن ذبح شخصين واختطاف آخر إلى جانب نهب 150 رأس من الماعز في هجوم شنه مسلحون على منطقة موغالي عاشية الذكرى 11 لاستقلال جنوب السودان. وصرح الرائد ديفيد كاسيميرو مفتش شرطة بلدية نوملي لراديو تمازج صباح الاثنين أنهم عثروا على جثتي كاريسيوس موسيس 39 عاما وأندرو غاويليوم 35 عاما بعد أن تعرضا للضرب والذبح بالسكاكين.
المجرمين المسلحين جاء طبعا هنا في موغالي هم قام نحر 150 راس بتاع غنم دار مامنا فرين دو في الوصول في النوس هنا هم ربطوا الجمالي ربطوا النفرين وقام دقو باسايا قام قطاب سبين في جرقب نازل موت النفرين ليه أول مباري طبعا أنه مكتبر نازل مكتسفين ودر يعني مو إن شاء الله نازل مام لكن مباري طبعا يتدين نازل عشان على سطول اللي جوز يشتغل بتام ولا هو طبعا أنه ليس طبعا في جمال معلومات لا حد أسا ما في معلومة كده واضح لأنه نازل ما في جوز جبالة قلينا في البوليس لا حد أسا نازل كان ما يسجل أجل لأنه مباري عدوب
وأوضح أن الشرطة لا تزال تبحث عن معلومات بشأن المهاجمين مبينا أن الحادثة دفعت المواطنين للخوف والهلع. من جانبه أكد أليرا ويليوم رئيس فيام نوملي وقوع الحادث وقال أن الجثث نقلت إلى مستشفى نوملي وسيتم دفنهم مساء اليوم. وقال ويليوم أن الجريمة تم تخطيطها بصورة منظمة ويجب على الحكومة التدخل العاجل لحماية المواطنين. من جانبه أوضح الرائد أكول أميت قائد قوات دفاع شعب جنوب السودان في نوملي أنه تم نشر قوات للبحث عن المجرمين. وقال الرائد أن بعض الرعاة من مجتمع بور وشباب ولاية شرق الاستوائية من قاموا بالهجوم، ويضيف: حسب المعلومات قالوا أنهم دخلوا أشوى وعبروا هناك إلى موغالي. وحث قائد قوات دفاع شعب جنوب السودان المجتمعات المحلية على وقف جميع أشكال العنف والتركيز على السلام. نشرة الأخبار نقرأها لكم من راديو تمازج. كشفت السلطات في ولاية الوحدة بجنوب السودان عن مقتل نقيب شرطة بطريق الخطأ بالرصاص في بلدة بانتيو يوم الجمعة. وتقول الشرطة أن المشتبه به الذي يدعى تور مونيانغ كان ينوي قتل مسؤول بروتوكول الحاكم جيكيني وور. وفي مقابلة مع راديو تمازج الأحد أكد مدير التحقيقات الجنائية بولاية الوحدة مارتن ميك الحادثة، وقال أن الرجلين كانا في مقهى في سوق بانتيو مساء الجمعة عندما أطلقت عليهما النار. وقال نقيب الشرطة الذي قتل اسمه توت تيلشوتو ياك من مقاطعة ميوم، وشار ميك إلى أن الضحية قتلت بالخطأ وتابع لم يقصد قتل توت تيلشوت، لكنه كان مع جيكيني في مقهى للشاي، بدأ جاني في إطلاق النار وتمكن من الفرار ولم تتمكن السلطات من القبض عليه. وبين المسؤول الحكومي أنه تم إرسال قوات لمطاردته. وبحسب ميك فأن الضابط المصاب يتلقى العلاج الآن في مستشفى بانتيو الحكومي. وقال ياي دول شاهد عيان من مكان الحادثة، الجاني كان ينوي قتل مسؤول بروتوكول الحاكم لكن الرصاص الطائش سقط وقتل توت. عثر على عامل إنساني يعمل لدى منظمة كاريتاس سويسرا في مقاطعة إيكوتوس بولاية شرق الاستوائية بجنوب السودان ميتا في منزله في بلدة إيكوتوس يوم الخميس. وقال أوغيسا أبراهام أحد أفراد الأسرة لراديو تمازج يوم الجمعة أنه عثر على أخيه أودوني أبراهام أبولو ميتا في غرفته صباح الخميس، وأضاف لقد توفى في الليل ثم تم اكتشافه في الصباح عندما كان الأطفال يذهبون إلى المدرسة لأن ملابسهم كانت داخل غرفته. وقال أوغيسا وهو أيضا رئيس شباب مقاطعة إيكوتوس أن سلطات المقاطعة لا تزال تحقق في سبب وفاة أودوني، ومضى قائلا ما زال سبب الوفاة مجهولا ولم يكن يعاني من أي مرض، لقد جاء من مكان عمله وفي الصباح عثر عليه ميتا. من ناحية أخرى أكد أودوني جوزيف كبير السلاطين ورئيس مقاطعة إيكوتوس الحادث، ودعا أفراد أسرة المتوفي التحلي بالصبر.
ولا يموت دنيا برام حسر ملنا خالص خالص لنا إيكوتوس كاونتي بسالة أي لصورة مرحوم أنا يقولوا خليمون يكون تبان كفارة لومون خليمون جيني قلوبته من تام خليمون جين بكارج تبان موتوا ده أصله جيزول لرامي إن كده جيني ما قلوب واحد وإن كده كتو كله في إيدا ترابنا كدمون ما فكر سديد وكدمون عينو كمان مو إسفسالي يالو.
وقال لوداي كارلوس الضابط المسؤول في مركز إيكوتوس للرعاية الصحية الأولية أن الراحل لم تظهر عليه مضاعفات جسدية أو علامات التسمم، لكنه قال أن المنشأة الصحية تفتقر إلى المعدات الطبية، مشيرا إلى أنه لم يكن من السهل عليهم فحص سبب الوفاة.
أنا حاول جاء فاشن علينا جاء قال أننا جو مثل في جريري ناكشد any sign gale bukum dong fi fi wala bukum dong tani au gu wala kan an bujak tan gitala wala kan station we shin na madraja tan na be ni go no di so bere do atasan o phone talk to the smartphone to fi lo fi rio on and my best o kaman in the kilo rasto na che kulu mas haja tan and me atasan no but be an gal ya tan di pati kan pati tan no because people ni beru muses fi
نشرة الأخبار نقرأها لكم من راديو تمازج. دعت حاكم ولاية قرب بحر الغذال بجنوب السودان سارة كليتوريال المواطنين والقادة إلى إنهاء القبلية، مبينة أنها تفرق الناس وتعيق التنمية في ولايتها. جاء ذلك لدى مخاطبتها المواطنين خلال احتفالات عيد الاستقلال في استاد إسحاق يوم السبت في بلدة واو. وقالت سارة أن القبلية هي أحد الأسباب الجذرية للأزمة التي تواجه الولاية، وعلى الجميع الاتحاد ومحاربتها.
وغرب على الغزال وبيقام واحد كل جنوب السودان يكون واحد، وأي زول بلد نفسه هنا أي جنوب هنا، فهنا لازم نكون النموذج بتاع وحدة في جنوب السودان. جنوب السودان ده ما بلد بس احنا عايشين فوقه، da wata da Aish bi gulubna fada masuliyya bitana ahina namsik balad bitana.
كما دعت اللاجئين والمشردين داخليا من ولايتها إلى العودة إلى ديارهم. واحتفل جنوب السودان يوم السبت الماضي بالذكرى 11 لاستقلال البلاد، ومع ذلك لم تكن هناك احتفالات وطنية. والخبر الأخير بالنشرة، أطلقت السلطات في ولاية وراب بجنوب السودان يوم الخميس سراح 3 زعماء محليين تم اعتقالهم بتهمة تحريض وتشجيع الشباب المسلحين على مقاومة أوامر الجيش في مقاطعة تونج الشمالية. وأسفرت المقاومة عن مواجهات عسكرية ومقتل 18 ضابطا حكوميا بمن فيهم مدير المخابرات العسكرية للفرقة 11 أكيكسيمان فيتش، وقائد العمليات للفرقة 11 سانتينو كوات كوديت، ومحافظ حافظ مقاطعة ميانجور السابق كوال أغوك، وسبعة مدنيين إلى جانب إصابة العشرات. وقال رينغ دينغ دينغ وزير الإعلام بولاية وراب لراديو تمازج أنه تم إطلاق سراح الزعماء يوم الخميس، وبين أن الحاكم المكلف واللجنة الأمنية التي شكلها الرئيس للتحقيق في الحادث ما زالت موجودة في مقاطعة تونج، وهي من أمرت بالإفراج الفوري عن الرؤساء الثلاثة الذي يشتبه ضلوعهم في حادثة رولبيت. في غضون ذلك، أكد العضو البرلماني ميليك أجي إطلاق سراح السلاطين من سجن كواجوك، مشيرا إلى حدوء الأوضاع الأمنية في تونج الشمالية بعد نشر الوحدات الأمنية هناك. ختام النشرة قدمناها لكم من راديو تمازج. مستمعينا، نشكر لكم حسن المتابعة وإلى اللقاء.
في المساحة الماضية مستمعينا استمعتم لنشرتنا الإخبارية، إنها مساحة أخرى نفردها لنتابع معا مستمعينا قضية اليوم. أحلى الأوقات أتمناها لكم.
Dear Radio Tamazight listeners, join us and listen to exclusive interview with the U.S. Embassy Judge of Affairs, William Flins, who will be speaking to us about some of the supports that U.S. Embassy is giving to the people of South Sudan and their government, including the peace agreement that has been signed. Mr. William, you are welcome to Radio Tamazight and speak to us more about what some of the activities that the U.S. Embassy is doing in South Sudan. You are welcome.
Okay. Thank you for the question, Chalo Ali. The United States remains committed to a peaceful, democratic, and stable South Sudan. And we are continuing to encourage the South Sudanese people and our regional partners to help us work towards that vision. Chalo Ali, you know, it's difficult to see, for people to see how there can be peace in the country when there's so many pockets of violence, so much instability, and basic needs that are not being met. And that's why the U.S. has spent much of its efforts and funding to support humanitarian assistance for the people of South Sudan. Mm-hmm. That, in a way, is also supporting the peace process. Because mm-hmm. if there are people who cannot have their basic needs met, there certainly will not be stability, and people will always be competing over resources. You probably know that the United States is the single largest donor of humanitarian assistance to the people of South Sudan, with mm-hmm. contributions averaging $1 billion U.S. dollars a year. And that includes assistance for food, nutrition, safe drinking water, health services, education, relief supplies, and also services for those victims of violence. So we're trying to address those basic needs, and that effort of providing humanitarian assistance has been made all the more challenging, especially in light of Russia's unjust, unprovoked war in Ukraine, which has resulted in massive price spikes, has disrupted global grain energy markets, and that's made things much more difficult for the people of South Sudan, who have been struggling already for some time. Our efforts also extend to support for the United Nations mission in South Sudan, which carries out critical peacekeeping operations, as you know, in some of the most unstable parts of the country. And we're supporting that to the tune of some $300 million a year. So it's a substantial part of what the importance of the UN's work here, and we want to support them in those efforts.
Mr. Williams, of late we have seen that U.S. has scaled down the funds for peace mechanisms in South Sudan. Don't you think that this step could jeopardize the implementation of the peace process or peace agreement in the country?
Thank you. So Thank you for the question. So, as you noted, we have suspended funding for the two security monitoring mechanisms, the ceasefire and transitional security arrangements monitoring and verification mechanism, CTSAM, and the reconstituted Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, otherwise known as RJMEC. So we've been honored to provide support for both of those mechanisms since their inception. But what we've seen is that we've seen nothing but multiple repeated delays by the leadership of South Sudan in implementing the revitalized agreement on the resolution of the conflict in South Sudan. And that's raised a lot of concerns within my government about the will, the political will of the leadership of South Sudan to implement the peace agreement and to deliver on the aspirations of the people of South Sudan. So we're calling again on the government to redouble its efforts to show a sense of urgency to complete implementation of the peace agreement. That does not mean we are scaling back our support for the peace process. I want to make that clear. I've seen that reported in recent days, and that is a misconception of what our actual situation is. So even though we're scaling back support for these two mechanisms, we're not scaling back support for the peace process.
Okay, that means that when you're talking about the government should double their efforts, that seems that the U.S. is disappointed with the South Sudan government.
I think it's not just the U.S. and others. I think it's the people of South Sudan, frankly, who are disappointed in the failure to advance the peace process. It should be much further along by now. Many of the promised reforms, commitments have not been implemented, and that's why we are where we are, with less than 7 months remaining in the transitional period and many uncompleted actions that remain. So we speak to the people of South Sudan, we hear their voices, and it's clear that they have the same concerns about the lack of implementation.
Yes. Mr. Williams, what was the U.S. expectations from South Sudan before independence? Has your view changed about South Sudan before independence after the conflict happened in 2013?
I was not covering South Sudan at that time, but from what I can tell you is that there were certainly early days of this country were a time of hope and promise that the leadership here would chart a new path to deliver on the aspirations for the people of South Sudan who struggled for so many years to get their independence. And we, the United States, was a partner, and we remain a partner in that effort. But it's been disappointing, though, to be frank, about how we have not seen the level of implementation and commitment by leaders of the country. And that's something we continue to press them on, that it's not too late, but they have to turn this around. People are losing hope, and it's incumbent upon the leadership to show that there is still a chance to get this right. And we're here to support them, but we cannot want it more than the leaders of the country do. It takes political will to make these changes, and we, as a friend, a longtime friend of South Sudan, who helped this country gain its independence, you know, we've invested a lot. We want to see South Sudan succeed, but it takes political leadership to make that happen.
Okay. Mr. Williams, as you know, we are about 8 months down to the election in South Sudan. What is the role of the United States to ensure South Sudan holds elections? And do you think that South Sudan is ready for the election before the transitional period ends next year?
Sure. We understand that the government is developing a roadmap for the remainder of the transitional period up through the elections. And that roadmap will contain benchmarks that will be crucial to ensuring that the preconditions are met. And it should also be a very inclusive and consultative process by which various stakeholders are able to express their opinions on this. So we will wait, and we are waiting to see that. And we want to also be assured that this has the buy-in and support of the people of South Sudan. It cannot be a one-sided roadmap that's thrust upon the other stakeholders. It's got to be consultative, and that's going to be a key determining factor in how legitimate that roadmap will be. And we are going to be watching and waiting to see how that develops.
A lot of political parties, civil societies, and media complain about the lack of civic space and freedom of speech and press. What is the U.S. doing to ensure that there are freedoms in South Sudan before this election? Because we are going to a very critical time.
You're absolutely right. And that's something we prioritize in our engagements with the government, to press them to ease up, to create more civic space for the population, because the pressures will only mount as that election date, whenever that happens, draws near. And we're supporting civil society groups. We're supporting journalists to help them in their reporting. But ultimately, it's going to take the government to be willing to allow that dialogue, that debate, to foster true discussion about the future of this country. And the training, the support we provide to those civil society groups, to journalists, is something that we're proud of, because it's something we hope will be a tool for them to use to create, to pry open more of that civic space and demand more from their government.
Mr. William, many political analysts and observers think that the parties to South Sudan peace agreement will eventually decide to extend the transitional period after it ends. Does the U.S. support any other extension of the transitional period, if we are to imagine that?
That would be a question I think that the government will have to answer to its own people, first and foremost, as to why they think an extension of the transitional period is justified. As you know, there have been other extensions in the past, and we are still much behind schedule, and there's a lot that remains to be done. So I guess the question that one would have to ask is, what would be different about an extension this time? So that is something I would just leave out there for others to address, but it's something we're looking at, and I think it's a very valid question in light of what we've seen already develop to this point.
Mr. Williams, the observers believe that the targeted sanctions and the arms embargo imposed on South Sudan failed to bear fruits. What other tools does the U.S. have to ensure democratic transformation happens in the country, especially in South Sudan?
Well, sanctions obviously is one tool that we would rather not have to use, but given the lack of follow-through and accountability, that is certainly one of the tools we will continue to rely on to demand accountability. We are working, though, on various other mechanisms, in particular through the Public Financial Management Oversight Committee, of which we are a part, and hoping to build that awareness at that level for more responsive, more accountable management of this country's revenue streams, so that there can be more transparency, more accountability for all to see. And that's another way we are helping to build that accountability. And we're pressing the government to take the necessary steps to open its books, to show exactly where the money is going. And if there are if that reveals that there has been mismanagement, then that would be something upon the government to follow up and to hold accountable those who have been mismanaging the country's finances. But we are continuing to push for accountability at various levels.
Mr. Williams, as you're pushing for this accountability, there are questions also arising that why is the U.S. embassy or the U.S. itself as a state not investing in oil production in the country? Because this is where actually most of the corruption is happening. And people are asking, why is the U.S. not investing in that particular field of oil production?
That's something we hope we can see in the future, some more U.S. direct investment here in South Sudan. But frankly, it's difficult for me to encourage U.S. companies to come invest in South Sudan when there is a lack of basic response oversight, a lack of protections for investment here. What the last thing we want to do is to have a U.S. company come in, set up operations, and then not be successful due to and we're hopeful that South Sudan can improve its investment climate so that in the future we can welcome these companies and give them some assurances that there is rule of law here, that their investments will be protected. Mm-hmm. And that will be a very positive development if we can reach that day. But at the moment, it's difficult for me to say that with confidence that a U.S. investor would have their investment protected to the extent that it must be in order to assure that they would be successful here.
Mr. William, maybe the second to last question is about the U.S. embassy is known to have been helping in terms of humanitarian to the population in South Sudan, in terms of education, food, medication, security. But the question is, what is the plan for the U.S. to have these people self-reliance, and what is the long-term sustainability that are you planning to for these people so that they don't just rely on humanitarian aid?
You ask a very excellent question, Chala Ali, but I would say that this is not a question for us to answer. This is a question for the government of South Sudan to address. You're right in that we are supporting, providing food assistance to a large segment of this population, three-quarters of which, of a population of 12 million people, are food insecure. Mm. This is not a sustainable situation. We would like to take our efforts, direct our efforts towards more development. But frankly, when you have as many people at risk of starvation as there are here who are food insecure, it's really, the priority must be to save lives. But I go back to the question of the government and what are they doing to help transition away from humanitarian donor assistance to more self-reliance. We're willing to have those conversations, but the government has to start providing levels of basic service to basic services to its people. That's the challenge, and that's what we are looking for the government to help address.
Mr. Williams, maybe finally your message specifically to the leaders in South Sudan, the fact that the graduation of the forces has delayed so far. We have not have any unified forces that are supposed to be graduated. We have so many other bills delayed in the parliament as well. What will be your message to the leaders and these political leaders in the country and the civilians at the same time?
My overarching message to them would be to show more urgency in implementing these remaining tasks for there to be a successful completion of the transitional period. There's a lot of this is in the government's control. And this is why it's not a time to be saying that we can't do it. It's a time to double down, to come together, to put aside differences as a transitional government and work to complete these tasks. There are several bills pending that require the leadership, the president and the first vice president, to sit down and actually hash out some of these differences over the National Security Bill, over the Political Parties Act. And this is something that we can't do. This is something that can only happen between the leadership, among the leaders of this country. So that's something that they owe not to the outside donors. This is something they know they owe to the people of South Sudan. People are expecting the leadership to come together to resolve their differences. And this is my message to them. And I think that would be the same message from the people of South Sudan to their leaders as well.
Mr. Williams, thank you so much for speaking to us. We'll be looking forward to speaking to you in some other days to come as well, because there are many things need to be actually addressed, sure, specifically by the U.S. as one of the main actors and who are also part of the peace, you know, keeping peace and security in the country. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you very much. A pleasure to speak with you.
Dear listeners, this was Judge the Affairs, U.S. Embassy to South Sudan, William Flins, speaking to Radio Tamazig on some of the issues that actually are affecting the country, their people, and the government. Join us for more interviews to come. Thank you.
Radio Tamazig, على امتداد المناطق الحدودية.
بقضية اليوم التي سمعتم لها في المساحة الماضية مستمعينا، نكون قد وصلنا وياكم لموعد نشرتنا الإخبارية بعربي جوبا، وهي مساحة مستمعين تتعرفون فيه على جديد الراعين السياسي من جنوب السودان. أهل الأوقات، أتمناها لكم.
مستمعينا دي أخبار بعربي البسيط كجاليتكن من راديو تمازوجا. وفي مختصر أخبار، توترات في نيمولي بعد ما قتلوا رئيس السلاطين وسجنوا نفرين. ناس كان تردو من بيوت تمن في نغالا محتاجين لمساعدة الإنسانية. سجنوا راجل في عمر 32 سنة مكالمة القلي وقتلوا نسبته. مستمعين تنا دي أخبار بعربي البسيط كجالي تكون من راديو تمازوجا. قبدو نفرين المشتبهين بعد ما كان دربو رئيس السلاطين في منطقة تانزارا بوما في نيمولي في ولاية الشرق الاستوائية في زمن ألومن كان قاملو اجتماع المجتمع في يوم اتنينية. بعد حادث ده شباب المحليين عمل مظاهرات الفريقومن مع قوات الأمنية، لكن لسه في توترات عالي بعد ما سجنوا المشتبهين ده في مركز العسكرية في نيمولي. رائد أكول مايت قائد قوات الدفاع في جنوب السودان في نيمولي ونسل راديو تتمازج وكلنغالي سلطان جون أبل من منطقة تنزارا بوما كتلو بالرصاص في زمن ألو كان قاملو اجتماع عشان ليمو تبرعات لدفن تنفرين الكان كتلو في نهاية أسبوع الفاتة. وقالي نسل سجنو ديل أتم أكيش أنوي ومكواج مايوم الأمر تمن كله 27 سنة. وكمان رئيس السلاطين في نيمولي بايام أليرا ويليوم كيلنغالي زول الدروبو دي غاسد عشان دروبو سلطان الغالي حدث دي كان حاصل في ساعة 9 تصبع الغالي مفتش تاشرطة في نيمولي كمان من ديماناس الكان أوغو في كوراتو تو في زمن تشتبكة ديها. وكيلنغالي مئات من مواطنين في نيمولي جيري من بيوتو تومن ليوغان داها. بوسكو أبل رئيس الشباب في نيمولي كيلنغالي وضع الأمن بطال في منطقة هناك بعد ما قتلوا سلطان دي ألو طلبه من حكومة قالي كلي طلع أفراد من مجتمع تجنغولي ألفي في منطقة هناك دي عشان لتحسين تحالة الأمنية، وطلبوا من حكومة قالي كلي وفروا أمن لمواطنين في منطقة هناك عشان كلي ما كون في خسائر في أرواح وكمان في حاجات تناس الدمروا بعض من ممتلكات في منطقة. حوالي 8000 ناس النزهو داخليا في منطقة تانغانغالا في ولاية الشرق الاستوائية تعبانين شديد ومن محتاجين لمساعدة الإنسانية. كلمو قالي ديل الناس الكناملو لومن هجوم ماروا في نهاية شهر الفاتة. أنتونيا أغوم جورجي ألو واحد من ناس الكمان كان تردو من بيوت تومن دي كيلنغالي في تحديات كتير الجواجي همون لأن في أسر كتير عليندو أطفال وفي بريت وكمان باهودة وأمراض تنين كتير الجا من ما أمن وصلوا في منطقة لما ناس ريجي جيني فوق دي وطلبوا من حكومة وشركات تومن غالي كلي ساعدوا من ما مساعدة الإنسانية.
عندنا ظلم سديد لأنو إيالنا في شكت في باهود في أمراض ياو كنا ديرين بس كان كم في ولا كان كم ما في. المهم ربنا يساعدنا كده جيبو سكيرتي ده سان ساعدنا في بلدنا ده ممكن أقوم أبدر شيلنا نبيرجع في بلدنا بسلام ما عندنا حاجة الكاب في قلوبنا أبي أجا أبي شيلو إيالتنا وقتل تسع نفر ياو جيبنا كواف يا نجيري.
وكمان رئيس السلاطين المحليين في نغالا أغوستينو بنجامين طلبوا من حكومة ومنظمة الدولية قالي كلي ساعدوا ناس التردو من بيوت تتمندية.
تمني الفصول تمني الفصول اللي سما تامي ما تامي على الثلاثة مناطق دل ما تامي هسا كنين ذاتو منو بقول في البرندات بيجا سبب ما ترى وينو مال الأطفال وهو صعبة يعني أدوة ذات حسا وصعب شوية وجدة يعني أصلا هنا بنتالي بينو النازل اللي يوفر لهم طريقة كيف يجيب لهم خيامات أصلا النازل بقدر يقول كل زول يقول في محل بتاعه ويعرف كيفية هو بيتعامل مع عيال بتاعه كده بنتالي بينو اللي أقوم أقدم المساعدات عاجل نازل ويشوف لهم مخيمات أصلا كيف أولاد حتى يتأثروا مع تعليم تعليم حتى مدارس كله بتاعت بيام وقف بصورة الكلام ده.
مدير المحلي لمحلية ليريا شارلس جادا عبر عن كلام تقدير تتو لقوات الأمنية في كلام القالي أمون حاول عشان جيبوا استقرار في منطقة هناك واسده قالي في تحسن في أوضاع الأمنية.
كل مكان أجروا لليريا wada min nganga la o mulara asbah janga la mulara kiri kullum ya la hada kan taban ya kullum yazid wa yazid wa yazid akhir raqam 8141 haji bishkil da yarin al himaya da mutanen da zarti nganga la de ma indi ay haja mal hukuma illa yahmil muwatin balad al amn de kali kun كامل يعني كل يكون في معسكر بالمناسبة كل يكون في معسكر مستديم في نغالا لأنه نغالا ده هو المنبر وياو سكة بتاع أي مجرم يخش ديره بياو حاجة لأن دايره بعدين نمرة اثنين ياو فأنا دايرين ذات الحكومة ينشط الناس دي المنظمات دي ذات عند الرئاسة بتاع أوشا.
سجنو راجل في عمر 32 سنة بعد ما أوكان دربو ومتمرتتو لحد موتو في منطقة تهومدوني بايام في مقاطعة توريد في ولاية الشرق الاستوائية في يوم الأحد. سلطات المحلية كيلينغالي غوردون أوكيسا كان أيان ممرتا ملاريا وكمان غالين دو تايفود بعد ما كان راجدو في مركز ترعاية الصحية الأولية في منطقة إناك في أسبوع الفادي الكان غالي بداولو إلاجات الأتانولو ديريب لكن أو جرو ديريب دي بارا أو جيري من مستشفى. وفي يوم اللحظة أوكيسا غالي غابلو ما نسيبة تتو أو دو جوزيف الكان غالي ما بعد من نسوان تنين ألو بارا دوغو غالي لحد دي أوغو شديد وبعدك شلو لمستشفى تطوريت لإلاج الغالي ركبولو أكسجين وبعدك أو جموتو في يوم اللحظة. Alias Abuy Okello, Sultan fi mantika enak, wonestele radio tatamazic fi yomtalata o kelengale kalamta shirab merisa fi wasat tashabab yaude mendima tahadiyat algiwajiho nas fi mantika. Fitali Ofere Rafael Odo fi Barlaman men Hizib Taharaka Shabia le Tahrira Sudan SPLM fi Barlamanta Wilaya fi Turit. المن منطقة إناك أريدو كلامتا حادث دي بشدة ألو طالبو من شباب في منطقة إناك غاليك لمن وقفو كلامتا شرب مريسة دي وكلي أمن عينو لكلامتا مستقبل تمنى. أمتار التجيل دميرو مئات من بيوت في مخيم تخور للاجئين المن جنوب السودان في ولاية نيل الأبيض في السودان. كلمة غالي أكثر من 300 أسرة الجيجين في حدود في جبلين بين السودان وجنوب السودان كسروا بيوت تتمون الغالي ومنتابانين في منطقة. سلطان لالا دين رئيس تسلطين ونس الراديو تتمازج غالي ناس في منطقة هناك متأثرين شديد مع أمطار التقيل الكان حاصل وطلبوا بمساعدة الإنسانية.
تعبان جديد والمجمات ما في وناس تعبانين هذا زياد ومطر جاد تقيل شديد يعني ملنا بيوت كله مكان ذاته مكتمات كان دالو ذاته ما جابوا نبارة سنان ذاته بناس كوري ناس عبان بكورور الله لكان في طريق ذاته متعبونا والله العظيم طريقة كده يعني ما دي اللو يعني لو مطر الثاني جاء ذاته والله العظيم ناس في بيوت ذاته ما بالقوضة عن ذات ناس جل الثلاث ناس ملي جنين بكورور كذلك ذاته ناس شديد شديد يعني كان في طريق.
مستمعين تانا لحد هيني دي نهاية أخبار بعرب البسيط الكن جالتكن من راديو تتمازج وشكرا لاستماعكن وإلى اللقاء.
بعرب جوبا والتي استمعتم لها مستمعين في المساحة الماضية إنها مساحة أخيرة تتابعون فيه نشرتنا الإخبارية بالإنجليزية.
Welcome to the English News Bulletin from Radio Tamazic today, Tuesday, July 12, 2022. But first, here are our headlines. Kir suspends all dredging plans following public uproar. Tension intensify after chief kill, two arrested. Western Equatorial governor celebrates Independence Day with the Sikh. Ugandan police probe suspected murder of South Sudanese refugee. And now, the news in detail. South Sudan President Salva Kiir Mayardit has suspended with an immediate effect an anticipated dredging of rivers in the country. The suspension comes barely a day after public consultation conducted by experts and academicians at the University of Juba called on the government to first carry out feasibility study before the dredging. During his address to the nation on 11th anniversary of independence, President Kiir directed that credible and independent environmental and social impact assessment be undertaken to find out viability of the dredging agreement. Kiir noted that in the last few weeks, the country has been engaged in an informative debate over the issues of dredging in Barhal Ghazal Basin, especially the Naham River. He agreed that the two groups have put forward genuine opinions, both for and against dredging.
This debate, keenly, I realize that this outcry from public consultation from both sides came because we have not conducted an informed public consultation. that addresses the concerns and fears of those groups. These fears and concerns, whether real or perceived, can only be overcome through public consultation and the conduct of credible scientific studies of the impact of dredging on the surrounding communities and the suit ecosystem.
He said the opposing group fears the loss of the marshlands, which are lifeline of the different animal species and means for livelihood for our fishermen. President Kiri stated that he suspended the project to allow for an inclusive and in-depth study of the agreement and its long-term impacts on the environment. Kiri also directed the Minister of Environment and Forestry to initiate the process of identifying and eventually hiring credible experts who will carry out the said feasibility studies.
It is only after we have done this will our people on both sides of this debate have confidence to support this project, to allow our citizens to participate in the consultation process without emotions. I am today freezing any plan dredging activities in the Sud region until credible professional evidence-based studies are carried out on the impact of dredging both on the surrounding communities and their ecosystem. To this effect, I am directing the Ministry of Environment and Forestry to initiate the process of identifying and eventually hiring credible experts who will carry out the said feasibility study.
Two suspects were arrested after allegedly shooting the Nzaraboma chief dead in Nemlipayam of Eastern Equatoria State while he chaired a community meeting on Monday. Following the incident, local youths staged demonstration and were dispersed by security forces. However, tensions remain high as the suspects were held at the military detention center. The SSPDF commander in Nimle, Major Akola Medame, told Tamosi that Chief John Ebele of Nzaraboma was shot dead while chairing a community meeting to fundraise for the burial of the two men who were slain over the weekend.
Kalamda Alfen fi meeting al Sultan al Barabuda kan nadi meeting the Nazal Khan Katalo Awal Mubarak, though why there is Shulule Magali is an initiative na Jama Katir Nazaboda Wella Kul Dama fi Makabutov Sultan Desat. The Manwa had Watan Gudamanatu, Yai Maharis, Kalasala, Darab Sultan. One Jahata Lamana Jutun Nafrend Gari Sujin
He identified the suspects as Atema Kwacha Keny and Matoch Mayom, both 27 years old. Meanwhile, Nemlipayam Chief Aliria Williams says the culprits aimed at the chief, shooting him dead at 9 AM. He also said the Nemli police inspector was injured during the melee that followed later in the afternoon.
At 9 AM local time, community gathered in the compound of my office. So they are taking position for the body of the two who are what they have lost. I don't know from where they evacuate the culprit. We have a problem with the chief identity. Among the people, the only target is just what happened. And immediately after this, we at the today, even the police inspector of many reasons, they have stopped eating at the neck. They have broken the phone, but maybe they have broken the neck. That's mirror. They have stopped eating at the neck, they have phone, very broke. They have put him up at the end. So the situation, I think, as I being the community leader, at my side,
Bosco Ayala, Nimli youth leader, says the situation is deteriorating as the youth protest the killings and are calling for the evacuation of the community members from Jungle State.
Even right now, what the people are saying, all the Dinka community who are not employed by the government, they need to leave. That's the only solution that can help the situation. Because every day the people are being killed. And these people, our people, the local people are being killed by the Dinka community who have traveled thousands of miles away coming on the ground here. This is the voice of the people, this is what they're saying. The only thing that is possible is to make sure these people are taken away from here. Because they are not doing anything and we don't know why they are here. In fact, even if it is a town, but we still have a reason He said, no, town cannot be occupied illegally. You see that? Starting on that one, for me, what I can see, can say is that these people, the only solution, if the government is failing to protect the citizens, then the government should remove their soldiers away from here so that the youth can take control of the town themselves. Because we are quite sure that if the chance is given to the youth can do something better.
You call on the government to provide security to the people of Nimule to avoid further loss of lives and destruction of property. You are listening to the English News on Radio Tamazuj. South Sudan Western Equatoria State Governor on Independence Day visited the sick at the Yambio State Hospital and donated some food and non-food items. Accompanied by other state officials and state organized forces, Governor Alfred Fortuyo said the sick have always been forgotten and isolated during national celebrations. Governor Fortuyo also contributed some food and non-food items, including sugar, salt, and cleaning items to the hospital. Meanwhile, the state health minister, James Abdallah, appreciated the initiative by the state governor and said such initiatives should continue. Simon Mandirwa, a patient at the hospital, appreciated the visit but urged the governor to provide food and medicines in the health facility. Moreover, Governor Fortuyo urged the people of Western Equatoria State to overcome the many challenges and unite for the development of the state, saying no stranger will bring development there. You are listening to the English News on Radio Tamazuj. Police in Adjumani district of neighboring Uganda are investigating the suspected murder of 21-year-old South Sudanese refugee whose body was found lying in a local trading center in Bagirinya refugee settlement, the Ugandan Monitor reported. The deceased has been identified as Paul Gawar, a resident of Block 10 in Bagirinya settlement and people of Bagirinya Primary School in Adjumani. According to the acting police spokesperson of the Northern Western Nile region, Mr. Ignatius Dragudu, the incident happened on Friday night, but his body was discovered on Saturday morning by the locals. Preliminary reports indicate that the deceased, who recently arrived from South Sudan, was from attending a night disco. He had come to participate in the ongoing verification of the refugees being carried out by the UNHCR and the Office of the Prime Minister, OPM. Peter Tabandata, the Germany Residence District Commissioner, has cautioned the refugees against taking the law into their hands. He advised the refugees to help the security to reporting wrong elements in the settlement camp so that action can be taken. Authorities in Warabi State on Thursday released three local chiefs who were detained over clashes in Twelbed, Payam of Twenty North County to assist in the conduct of investigation process into the incident. Last month, a state government arrested the three chiefs for allegedly encouraging their armed youth to resist army orders from confiscating raided cattle from a Liet community. The resistance resulted in military confrontations and the death of about 18 senior and junior military officers. Ring Deng Adiang, Warab State Minister of Information, told Radio Tamazuj that the chiefs were released on Thursday.
I think we don't have communication now because of network, and the chiefs were taken. The people of the area were taken to the area where they were needed. We should wait for them to update me, then I will come and update them. There were three. They are now sent back to the area for investigation because they are needed by the committee which was formed by the president to come and do fact finding what happened.
Meanwhile, Malega Gai, an area member of the State Legislative Assembly representing the SPLM Party constituency number 22, said, comes as return following the deployment of security units there. You are listening to the English News on Radio Tamazuj. The governor of South Sudan, Western Barlagazal State, is calling for an end to tribalism, which says divides the people and hinders development in the state, in high state. Governor Sarah Kalito was addressing citizens during Independence Day celebration at the Isaac Stadium on Saturday in Wau Town. Governor Kalito said if Western Barakazal can unite, then the whole country will unite since her state is cosmopolitan.
My fellow citizens of Western Barakazal, tribalism is one of the root causes of our crisis. Let us end tribalism. Mushkila bitata ngebelia, wanina be mushupa na wenye atugebila wala wenye atumantika deli mushkila hina madari mhajata albeksitna hina fidakil wilaya gharba halagazali hina shaabu wahi wakalina nebni ala wehda bitana unebni nasija liktimae bitana fidakil gharba halagazali gharba halagazali wabika mtu wahi kundu gino busudan kundu mtu wahi.
She also called the refugees and internally displaced people from her state to return home. Last Saturday, South Sudan celebrated the 11th anniversary of their independence. However, there were no national celebrations. Authorities in the United States say a captain at the Police Criminal Investigation Department, CID, was accidentally shot dead in Benty Town on Friday. The police says the suspects identified as Tormanyang had intended to kill the governor's protocol officer, Jekeny Woru, in the suspected revenge-related attack, but Woru survived the gunshot wound. In an interview with Radio Tamasi on Sunday, the director of Criminal Investigation Department in the United States, Martin Maye, confirmed the incident and said the two men were at tea place in Benty Market on Friday night when they were shot at. Mike noted that the victims were killed by mistake. Mike revealed that the suspect is at large, but a manhunt has been launched. According to Mike, the injured officer is now receiving treatment at Benue State Hospital and was targeted over the death of the assailant's brother. And finally, a humanitarian worker working for Caritas Swaziland in Yakutos County of Eastern Equatoria State was found dead in his house in Yakutos Town on Thursday, a family member said. The aid worker was identified as Odwingi Abraham Apollo. Mr. Uisha, who is also the chairperson of Ecuador's County Youth, said county authorities were still investigating the cause of Odinga's death. Meanwhile, Odwingi Joseph, the paramount chief of Ecuador's County, confirmed the incident and called for courage among the deceased family members. Lodai Carlos, an officer in charge of Ecuador's primary health care center, said the lady did not show body complications or signs of poison. He, however, said the health facility lacks medical equipment, pointing out that it was not easy for them to examine the cause of the death. That marks the end of our English News Bulletin for today. Join us again on Friday this week, same time, same place, for more news. Have a good evening.
بهذا مستمعينا نكون قد وصلنا وياكم لنهاية بثنا اليوم. شكرا لحسن المتابعة. لا تنسوا الانضمام إلينا مستمعينا صبيحة يوم قد في برمجة جديدة وتغطية إخبارية خاصة. وإلى ذلكم الحين مستمعينا، قوموا بزيارة مواقع راديو تمازج للتواصل الاجتماعي عبر الفيسبوك وتويتر. يمكنكم أيضا الاستماع لنشرتنا الإخبارية على البث الحي عبر صفحتينا بالفيسبوك وتويتر. إلى جديد اللقاء بكم مستمعينا، دمتم في أمان الله وحفظه. إلى اللقاء.